Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, you led us by your clouds and by your fire. Father, we know where we are today is because of your grace. Lord, not by our works, not by our righteousness, not by our abilities. And even the future, as we look at it, it's not just by our strength. But not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Father, as we look at our lives, review our lives, as we look at our future, our past, our present, Lord, as we go through this course, change our lives. Help us to see ourselves in many more new ways, in many more new tools that help us, Lord, to help us conform to your image. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, and I invite your Holy Spirit to touch each one of our hearts in areas that we have never been touched before. Lord, to uncover every room in our lives in ways that we have never allowed it to be uncovered. So that at the end of today, Lord, we will know that you have touched us in a very sensitive part of our being. Where our nerves are raw but need to be touched. Where we need Jesus to come into our life in a deeper, greater, more permanent way. So that truly, Jesus will dwell in every room, corner, and nook of our life and our being. Spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Maybe seated. And we're looking at you now. Now, I divided your self-analysis, which may not have the law of Copernicus working. Because what you see of yourself may not be what somebody else see of you. And some of your contrasts are good. The law of Newton is working. And the Einstein part is for us to solve and to bring healing. I presume that those of you who put your names there wouldn't mind me calling you by your name. Is that correct? No, okay, no, okay. Okay, then what I will do is that I will call up this name and ask you whether it's yes or no. Okay? If yes, then I'll continue. If no, then I won't continue. Alright. Those of you who put down your name and wouldn't continue, can you just put out your hand so that I will remember you? Okay, let me do it the opposite way. Those of you who put your names down and don't mind me using your name, put out your hand. Okay, let me remember. Okay, da 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 da. Okay, Ken. Okay, I remember. Okay. In case I slip, then just quickly wave your hand, okay? If I start mentioning your name and going into detail. So that will save anyone embarrassment. I still have a pastor's heart. And some of you just wrote down the things without putting your name. And that also reveals your nature. And reveal that you are secretive. You don't really want others to know about you. And right, there's some secret that you like to hide. Okay. And I will try my best to try to help you bring healing to yourself. I will give you some suggestions, things that work in my life that I hope will work in your life. They are not the only ways of inner healing. As you can see, that this is one course in relationship that we do touch on inner healing too. I believe in inner healing, and I may not teach it the way others teach it, but we do, and we are able to pray for people for inner healing too. And let's start with my own self-analysis, to be fair, okay? Joshua didn't even wrote anything. Clapping his hand. Okay, yes. What is that? Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to cover some of them, right? At the same time. Praise the Lord. Okay, now some of you wrote down 7 points, some of you wrote down 1 point, some of you wrote down 40 points or whatever. Of course, if some of you wrote down strength 1 to 40, weaknesses 1. You must either be very Christ-like or very perverted. But in general, I think most of you are very honest, right? Reading from there, you're very honest with yourself. And we are not able to go to all your points. As usual, all of us are so specialized in our personalities that there are many, many sub little things that you can do in your life. Like in my life, I can play music, I can do children's ministry, can do a lot of things, but there are dominant factors that we want to handle. Dominant factors. Dominant factors are areas that affect all the other areas of your life that we need to look at. And in my life, basically, trying to look at my dominant factor, I'm basically a philosopher. It affects my religion, it affects my walk with God, it affects my spiritual thing, and you can call it scientific or whatever it is, but my character is definitely more on the analytical and the intellectual side. Even though I try to develop by knowing where I'm weak in, I try to develop on my left hand writing, and so in that way balance myself up. And so struggle in my own personal struggle. And I need to be that way because I'm called to teach the body of Christ and to lead the body of Christ. And when you're a leader, you need to wrestle with concepts. You need to wrestle with doctrine. And I can't withdraw from this. I can't pull back. Maybe at under philosopher, analytical, intellectual, I am at level 10. I mean, I stretch myself to the furthest. There's still more room to stretch. And I cannot withdraw myself because of my call. I can't pull back and say, no, I refuse to go further analysis. I refuse to go into philosophy. Like I analyze a lot of things about medicine and this and that and all kinds of things to resolve issues so that what I resolve can be a blessing to others. I'm called to be a thinker, so I think and pass on my thinking to others. And what I have thought through help others to blaze a path. Can you see that? Because it's tied to my call, I cannot help what I am. But at the same time, I know because of that area, my weakness, even from the time I was small, was my emotion. You may not believe me, but when I grew up in a family of 6 children, and I was one of the 6, my sisters and my brothers and I don't hardly even talk to each other. We don't have the kind of normal brothers and sister relationship. I was very withdrawn and always hid to myself, and because I was, this was either gifted by God and put there so strong that it naturally make this weak. You understand what I mean? I had a lot of time for this, but no time for this. I never had a girlfriend in my entire school life. Although we had social functions and all those things, and I see some of my other friends falling in love and infatuation, I never had a single feeling. You can call me abnormal if you want. And it doesn't mean that those desires are not there. But I have never allowed them to break out into the social life. I completely no social life at all. And can you imagine, here I was in that kind of thing, I was probably developed in this way, but the emotions was this small. Mushroom. And imagine, I went to the seminary in that condition. It took me many years in the ministry before I allowed this area to develop. Now, I do cry from time to time. And my relationship with my parents was also not well developed. I never had a hug from my father. Can you see? That one is accentuated even further. by my father, being the typical Chinese father, where children should be seen and not heard. You just obey whether you like it or not. And so they accentuate that. And you can see that if I continue on that road, habis. Can you see that? Finish. Finito. I mean, I'll be a lopsided person. And I can analyze myself now, some of my early problems with people, because of my intellect, I tend to be able to argue, dissertate, defer, and everything with my own stand. Naturally, it becomes natural. So, when I was in seminary, okay, stage one, seminary, going to the ministry, I disagree with my lecturers. I dare to disagree. Because I felt that I could see some things. I could analyze, and I won't accept things until you define it properly. As a result of that, some of my professors don't like me. Okay? Because I don't accept things. And there are certain things that when I have come to believe in them, I'm immovable. When my seminary professor was teaching higher criticism and saying some of the things of Jesus were myths, I argue, I say cannot. It will destroy our faith. I stood firm. And so some of my professors don't like me, but there are others who like me. I became a pet, in fact, to one of the music professor, Mrs. Ruth Thomas, whom I still like. I always think of her a fond memory. And maybe she was the maternal mother that I was supposed to receive. And God put her there in my life as part of my development. And so I always have a good emotional relationship in that area. She always treats me well, and somehow I became like a pet. Little pet. And so that helped my development. God put people in my life. But I look at my life now, some of the professors whom I could have made them like me more, not purposely, but you know what I mean. I could tell you what's wrong with you, and yet you still love me. But people you don't know, you can tell what is wrong and they hate you. What's the difference? Relationship. Correct? And we don't go around telling people what's wrong with them. I mean, when they genuinely know that you love them, it's different. I had failed to establish relationships with my professors. All I need to do was visit them and say hello to them or kind of thing, or see them privately. I never did that. And so as a result, some of these very same professors were the one, when they gave me a letter of fellowship, make a decision that I had to leave the seminary. If I had I had no emotional bonding with them. You know what I mean by emotional bonding? I had no interest to strike emotional bonding, and I didn't value emotional bonding. So I read what I saw. If they had emotional bonding with me, even though they may disagree, dislike me, they would never have sent me out of the seminary with less of a fellowship, because they are tied to someone. Understand what I mean? It makes it harder. But because I had none of that, it makes it easier. Makes it easier. And when I was in field work and in the ministry, I had problems working with people who are older, or who represent what I call legalism, the system, the hierarchy. I was viewed as a rebel, revolutionary. And the reason is, I never build emotional bondings with them. Never. Whereas when I was in police doing field work, there was one of the church elders, and he was in his 50s or 60s. The other student had a different approach from me. He always would, after he do all the work, he would go to sit down, and that elder, he's the chairman of the Baptist church. He owns a, what kind of shop was that? Some sort of photography shop or something like that. Some shop, I forgot exactly what shop. And he'll sit around there and have tea and all this, which I don't enjoy. Of course, I used to tag along, being the younger student, but I never enjoyed that. And he used to visit this, we'll sit around their house, visit, and I analyzed back, he was building emotional bonding, which I was not. Later, when he graduated and left, I still continued the work there, but I neglected to do all those things. And as a result, there were problems in the area. I took no interest. I didn't know that there were steps. Now I look back, I know. I have skills. I have learned social skills. If I have the social skills I have today, and put them back in time, it would have been a different story. I had to learn social skills. Nowadays, I get along very well with people all ages. I love elderly folks like Brother John, and I love them. And when I'm with them, they feel like treating me like their son. I have a lot of people who like to adopt me, because I care for them, I love them, and they can sense the respect that comes from my life. And all this because when I was small, I never had that with my father. But through time, I grew in that area. So this area was growing. It's growing. And that was my main weakness. And it had to grow, and it grew to friendships, to relationships. And in small groups, I began to appreciate people and then began to reach out to people. I wouldn't say that it was an instant change. I couldn't pinpoint instant change. But gradually it changed. It changed. I'm not the type of person who hugs easily, kiss easily, embrace easily. I'm not. But I've changed. It doesn't mean I go around doing all those kind of things, right? Only to loved ones. But I've changed. I appreciate a good hug, I appreciate a good embrace, all these things. I've changed. No more the same person. Praise God. But if I hadn't changed, finito, it would have been terrible. But having analyzed my life, now your story comes. As we say, you may have 7 points, and I won't look for the 7 points. I will look for dominant areas. Areas that define who you are with the others being subservient. Yes, Leon? Now, intellectualism alone is not great enough. In the seminary, there was another student whom I consider more intellectual than me. He is a great A student, a real deep intellect, score A1s in everything. I think he's still in the ministry. Kun Xing is his name. I love that brother. He was charismatic. But even his physical look, you can see, he's got a big forehead like Johnson. Very intelligent man. Very intelligent. In seminary, he's one of those arguing about the predestination and all those. And he would sometimes argue in the way the professor, I could see, was baffled. Boggle. The professor also don't know what to say. And he would define it in ways that no one can understand, including me and every other student. So, I was intellectual. I believe the intellectualism was a predestined gift of God, because God knew what I was called to be and to do. If you didn't have intellectualism, don't moan over it. It may be because God didn't call you to be that. You definitely will have a different gift, a greater capacity than me in other areas. Maybe in your emotional sensation, your creativism, your musical ability, or your area dramatic abilities. And each one has a different gift. But there's a predestination that we recognize. But if I had taken the intellectual road alone, it wouldn't help. Although I was intellectual, I was only average doing schoolwork. I was more intellectual in the kind of analyzing person. Not really that interested in schoolwork. As long as I pass, I'm happy. Not interested in grade 8. And I just like someone who wants to do my own thing. But something happened after I came out from seminary in 1979. I was meditating on the Word of God. Now, I would say that my success is not just because of the intellectual area, but the intellectual was something that undergird my soul. But my zeal in God, which everyone can have. Zeal? Because of my zeal, I pray like nobody else pray. I seek after God like nobody else seek God. Now, whether you're intellectual or not, these things can be done. I seek God for hours. I fasted 40 days. Things like that. So, I pray. And then, I meditate on the Word. I discover meditation and I started meditating on the Word.
somehow those things increased to the point an explosion took place. After meditation for 1 year, 8 hours a day, we pray in tongues about 4 to 6 hours every day for 1 year and not doing anything else, no, not even reading the newspapers or any Christian books, something happened to me. My mind got received some impartation. Not a spiritual impartation, my mind received a different impartation. I call it like my mind was born again. From that day onwards, it's just like Luke 24 verse 49 taking place. You understand Luke 24 verse 49? Where the disciples struggled to understand the word of God, and then Jesus touched them and boom, they understand. They began to see the word of God. Now it doesn't have to be intellect to see the word of God, analyze the word of God. Let me try to show forth. People like Wigglesworth, they are not great intellects. But when he preached, there's substance in his preaching. Read his book. You read his book, you know he's not a great intellect. But there's substance in his book because he has an ability to crystallize spiritual truth in little saying that carry weight. But analytically, it was not very great intellectual sermon. So they should encourage you that you still can be a great preacher, a great teacher, a great minister without being intellectual. But different call. You see, I have a call to organize. I have a call to analyze things, to face wrong doctrine. And something like in the early church fathers, there's a group of them who become the apologists. Understand what I mean? And they would go after the hard stuff that all the others avoid. So because of that, that was a different gifting. So those things happened, and that changed and enabled me, although the intellectualism was preserved, but it became different. And so in that way, I won't credit all my success to the intellectual area. I would credit my ministry and the way it turned out to the intellectual part. But the turning point was from the zeal and the meditation part. That anybody can go after that. And hope that gives encouragement to everybody. Right. And a different one of us have different calls. Some of you would have a different call and different feeling in other areas to fill out different areas. And it just so happened that I've been faithful to a certain extent on the gift that God has given me, and it's become highly developed. And it's become very apparent. Each of you have a gift. If you're faithful to your gift, it can be highly defined. Let's look at people like, Alan Barbera, okay? It's obvious that he's a musician. He can catch tunes on the spot. He has highly developed his gift, and his gift is also producing STST. And he obviously has developed his gift. Now, he is almost like my opposite. We used to sit down and chat, and he says that his weakness is the intellectual side. He admires people who can analyze. I admire people who can just get a tune like that. And he's like on the very, very musical side. I am musical, but I haven't developed to that extent. And I remember when he shares. You may not have heard him teach or share, but when he shares, he prepares himself. There's substance in what he shared. There's substance in what he shared, the principles, etc. And when he expresses himself and prepares, for example, among his first session with the choir, when he was hearing the choir, I remember some of the things he shared to the choir because I was there. And he says, when you are practicing and preparing, what you're doing is work. You treat it as work, you really work. But on Sunday, it is worship. You forget about trying to do this and that. You just concentrate on God and worship. Well, I think that is a tremendous principle. I love that. And when you work out things and everything outside, but on Sunday, you forget all those things and you go into worship. You just play unto him. I remember that he shared with the choir. So things like that have got a lot of substance, and it's coming from a different realm. And so they are dominant factors, and we're trying to just pick up some. And this is an unnamed. And this person says, strength, faithful, think more than speak. Deep knowing of call, yet to be defined clearly. Considering something deeply before moving it. Look at that. 3 points all the same. These are the same points. Think more than speak. Deep knowing. Considering something deeply. Oh, this is deep, man. This is deep. Deep color on the deep. Why are you all getting who is it? Try not to guess, okay? It may not be who you think it is, okay? Deep. And now the weakness. Okay. Hot temper. Ooh. Reserve, which is natural because you're so deep that you gotta look inside. Deep color on the deep. Not expressive. Do you know it's natural? Not expressive. Passive. Of course, because you're looking at yourself. Can you see now how the thing produces itself? That very strength causes an opposite reaction. And that person has to... Now, what caused this hot temper? You know why? No outlet. No emotional outlet to strike the balance. Because this expresses great intellect. Can you see that? It's stretching very, very deep. He would be like the statue of the man who's sitting down, and you go... Praise the Lord. Okay, now don't try to figure out who he was, right? Since the person is anonymous, let's give them the grace to be anonymous. And hot temper is because there's no outlet. When I was young, I was quite hot tempered too. When I get angry, I really can get angry. Right. And my anger has to be dealt with. And why? But as I begin to release myself emotionally, I find myself getting angry less and less. I mean, when I get angry, I break things. Not small. Right. Here and there. I break things. And because it's so pent up, but now when it's released, I mean, love and emotions and all that release and expression and outlet. No more, nothing more to release. So the hot temper is the very result of the pent up things not being released. And you get hotter and hotter and hotter. When you release, it's volcano. Not a little stream, volcano. Volcano stuff. Boom! Most men are bad tempered, you know why? Most men are analytical. Men tend to reason. For that very reason, their emotions are not fully developed. If their emotions are highly, but emotion, people, men who are on more the feminine side, if you say feminine side men, not so domineering, not so analytical, you find that they don't lose their temper easily. They don't, very hard to make them lose their temper. Let me see, who in my church, making my church, who doesn't mind? I know he won't mind, so I dare to use it. Pastor Barnabas, correct? Pastor Barnabas. Oh, he's such a wonderful pastor. Soft and nice. Now, he struggles in the intellectual side, I know. He talked to me, he said he wants to teach better. And he's trying to improve himself. Now, at the end of it, don't forget, if I forgot to share the how-tos, so quickly remind me. I'll share how to develop some of these areas and balance yourself out. Some tools that I personally use. And very hard to make him angry. He's an example of a man with a strong mother's nature, compassionate, highly developed. And I would think that behind the scene and in front, he's not someone with a with a great temper. Almost zero temper. But the more intellectual you are, the more developed you are, the temper is there because you need emotional outlet. And so it's natural in that area. Now let's just run through some of them before we look at solution. Here's another one. Strength, independence. And likes people, likes to do things well, considerate of people, strive for perfection. Weaknesses, fear of dependence. Opposite from independence. Fear of being manipulated. Fear of failure. What is this thing? Might be weak in diplomacy. Objectivity with people. Inability to accept weaknesses, failures in myself. Now, let me focus on the fear. Because here the fear seems to be very good. The fear of being put in a box. That fear of being manipulated. Fear of being dependent. I mean, fear of being restricted into a box. If the person's strength is, it's liberalism, independence, person's strength. So, I've drawn a box to represent a fear and rays like the sun coming out, representing the liberty of that person. That person is, opposite from fear of the box. Looks like it's the strong point is expressiveness, or activeness versus passive or dull. The person will not stand dull things or inactivity. And so the person seems to be strong in this area and causing a problem here. The strength looks okay, expressive person looks okay, but need balance. And you can see that if this area is not balanced here, the area of the person probably is a very active person, practice a very active lifestyle, and probably needs more time for solitude. It's public versus private. And the person probably have very few personal and deep relationships. Get married. If really married, develop deeper relationships. And the person needs to succeed with one person, at least one person, that the person slowly learns to depend upon and then slowly increase that to more people. To realize that dependence is not failure. And that, you can see, will continue to be a problem. In the end, you know what the extreme case of this person? The person has very superficial relationship and no real friend. That will be extreme. So, need balance somewhere, otherwise it can go haywire. And when the person is in trouble, he may find no friends coming. Or the person grows to be 70 years old and no real close friends. If it moves to the other extreme, as you know that if the box can be here as something holding on while the person expands on the outside, so you could balance both sides. Inner strength and outward strength. Well, let's run through some interesting one with names on it. It just happened to be first on the page. Albert Ma. Okay. And strength. You were one of those who don't mind, right? Okay. I remember his hand. Cry easily. Okay. Perseverance, optimist, determination, friendly, sociable, able to be a leader as well as a follower, compassionate, teachable, able to analyze situations. Weaknesses, time management, too sentimental at times, stubborn at times, too accommodating at times, too emotional at times. Do you know that everything can be pointed out to this fact? As I look at your self-analysis, rightly or wrongly, based on this, that you're a person who has a tremendous social ability. Socialize. Tremendous. You have a tremendous gift with people, which points to a pastoral call. Okay. Very pastoral. Okay. So the areas of weakness is spending time with people, and then it says here time management and sentimental at times. It will be the area of what I call building your own solitude and study time, so that your this one become more fruitful. Solitude and study time. I may be wrong, but let me generate a rough guess. You are not really a bookworm. Are you a bookworm? Not really. You don't read that many books. Huh? Average, huh? About one book per month? Okay. Before coming here. Okay. And the books you read are probably inspirational. And inspirational, of course, we're talking about spiritual books, inspirational type, rather than analytical. Huh? You feel the nature now? Yes. Am I right in that? Inspirational, less analytical. Now, if you look at my library, if you look at my library, sometimes you find me, sometimes in my free time you find me reading a math book. Math book. Last night, just before I go to sleep, I was going through a science book. Just a summary of science, because I was checking on velocity and acceleration. So I just have to, since I read it, I might as well read it, finish. And just reading through it. So you can see it's different. I'm a bookworm. And so these are areas that are there, and you can see the strength and weakness, and you can also see the rough call of the person. There is one pastor, you would be to the extreme, Albert, I don't listen, because Albert can play chess. Okay? All chess players have a measure of intellect. You can't play chess without analysis. So he has. You have the ability there in the study area, if you find interesting or whatever. And let's say you're playing chess, your ability to play chess and developing it as a hobby, or reading analytical books, or learning a language, Hebrew and Greek, and trying to master a language, would balance your ability to socialize. Now, there was one minister friend, he's still a friend, his name is Ike Wong, he's with me in the early days. And in the early days when we were in Wood Center, there was a requirement that everyone must be a teacher. For some reason, and all these were full-time workers, Ike was there and all these were under the same support system. And everyone was compelled and pushed that you must teach the word. But as I see Ike, he always struggles because he is more a pastor than a teacher. And he has a tremendous social gift. He could go to a crowd and come back with 10 friends. I may go to a crowd and come back with 2. And that gift was not so much recognized because people were focusing on teaching gifts. And Word Center was more focusing on teaching than any other strong point. And that is why my goal is to build a church that is multimedia. everything inside. We encourage sports and everything, multimedia church. And we're adapted to the times and we flow. Although I recognize my own limitations, yet I want to give room for everybody. Multimedia. So that people like Pastor Barnabas will find a tremendous place in our church with his special gifting. And that's important. And I hope your church and your ministry finds a place for different people. And this need of solitude study and solitude going for long walks alone alone, spending time alone, and would help develop and strengthen. You see what happened? You're the opposite of someone who is an introvert kind of thing, who inside, and they need some area to express. Here you're quite expressive, and a person is quite sociable, and you need deep roots in order to be able to maintain perspective, the law of Copernicus. Otherwise the current would carry you. And so these are your areas. Your actual areas of weakness are areas of solitude and area of study, and that's why you put that time management. It's more bringing yourself to do some study, intellectual work. But you may encourage yourself by, you know, intellect, maybe you know, your hobby like chess and all these things can help to produce that. Pastor Kuma is another person who is like that. Okay, and let me see if his name is here. He's there. I remember he lifted his hand. Okay. Okay. Strength. Patient. Dependable. Finish the work. Obedience to God. And number five, put trust people. Okay, he trusts people. And most of you like him, like Yogi Bear. His weaknesses, disorganization and procrastination. Now, he's expressing it in a different way from Brother Albert. And basically, you all both have similarities. And Pastor Kuma is a very sociable person. Okay? I'm sure when you invite him for lunch, he hardly turns it down. So, anyway. Now, I'm sure Pastor Kuma reads books. But he will be in the same category. If he reads book, it's more in the inspirational than in the analytical. Okay? He would not be that much of a bookworm. And you both have similarities. Interestingly, Pastor Kuma also plays chess. And so he has some stability on that area. And both of you have some stability in the area because you do have some roots on your intellect here. You do. That is why you don't look like weirdos. Okay. If you remove this area, you all will be very sociable people. You know? And everyone will in the class will know you as this kind of person, a bit funny. But you're not. You both are normal to your class. And because somehow you managed to retain your intellect, although you couldn't express your intellect in these other ways, you have retained some of your intellect in different areas, development, and science law. Chess comes in. Now, praise the Lord. We may not have time to go through all, and some of you are relief. But we need to look at some. Right? Yes? Yeah? Yes, okay, you want to go first? June. Strength. Determination. Persistence. Staying on. Now, what she evaluates is what most of you see her to be, right? Takes a determined person to ask a lot of questions. Right, yes? Yeah? Yes, sir. Okay, you want to go first? June. Strength. Determination. Persistence. Staying on. Now, what she evaluates is what most of you see her to be, right? Takes a determined person to ask a lot of questions. Okay. Inquisitive. Very strong desire to learn. And learn them well. She could have had strong desire to learn at all costs. Right? And willing to eat humble pie. Purpose to learn. He didn't put that, but that's the thing. Ability to be doormat is necessary. To be the class scapegoat to ask questions to the professor on your behalf. That's my addition. Good workhorse. Meh. Is that how the house goes? Okay. Weaknesses, hasty, impulsive, right? Lazy, slow to grasp full understanding, need repeated reinforcement, and heart sometimes soft, can be stubborn. Now, what are her strong points that we see here? And she's someone with a lot of drive. A drive has pushed her, determination. And persistence is her great strength. I see a great strength, persistence. If any one of you have a very hard thing to do, where you have to slay 2 dragons, 10 dark Vedas, and go through 4 seas in order to, is the pen cover down there? Thank you. And all that, and you know that you send June, she will be willing to go there. So determination, that persistent, that drive. Now behind it is also a very sacrificial heart. People like that are very self-sacrificing. Do you realize that? It's because they are very self-sacrificing that they can be that way. They're not thinking about themselves. If you think about themselves and their life, they wouldn't be that way. Okay? They're willing to be dormant, willing to die that others can live. Okay? Now that quality, that reaching that quality, understandably can produce a stubbornness there. If it's applied to the wrong thing, the hardness can come. That's why she admitted it. But, and if she's stubborn, the right thing, fine. Wrong thing, it takes time to change. But you can see, all those things, we try to make it simpler and simpler, looks like a very hard thing. Right? And then she puts her weakness, her heart can be very strong. Can you see how it matches? Your self-evaluation? Behind all this, you got to be tough to sacrifice. You got to be tough to be persistent, to drive. And that toughness is matched by a softness that is on her inside. A softness. And as long as she develops that softness, and although you look at it as a weakness, but there's a need in your life to have softness so that you remain your feminine nature. A person that you can be. And so how do you develop that softness? Ability for tears, never lose that ability to cry. And then identifying with people who are in needy positions, you know, you identify with them, pray with them, you fellowship with them, kind of thing. All this continue. And then your softness is matched with your hardness. After being very, very soft, you can afford to be very, very hard. Opposite. And as we go analyzing each one, you realize that what we have been teaching is there all the time, and I got you to write all this before I started teaching. You remember that? From Christian psychology. Just to point out to the fact that these observations are very accurate. They are real. And they're taking place in our life. Let's have just one more. And anybody want to volunteer? All right. And let me pick at random. It just happened the next one is here. Joseph Selvam. Praise the Lord. Strength. Faith. Perseverance. Open mind. Open heart. Powerful. Powerful, okay. Willing at all times. 24 hours willing. Willing at all times. And to go the extra mile. Acceptance. To give spiritual and material support. Love and helping. Weaknesses. Quick to anger. Hard to control the tongue. Difficult to express the heart. Lack of memory power, slow in identifying, lack of discernment, lacking in wisdom in some areas, lack boldness in speaking the truth because of obligation. Now, all these characteristics, as I see it, shows forth a very bold individual. Do you also see him as a very bold individual? Very bold. Although he put there in under his weakness like a boldness, but actually he is perceived as a very bold person. Very bold, tell it like it is. But he finds it difficult to be bold with those who he has obligation to. Okay? Now, his boldness and his daring and all his willingness, all these points to these areas. What would be the opposite? What is that? Timidity and but you wouldn't see the timidity part, right? Very hard for you all to see a student. You don't see him, every time you see him he's always on cloud 10. Yes. But let me show you where he's expressing timidity here. Difficulty to express the heart. These are all signs of timidity. And lack of memory power. You know, this is not really memory power. It's more that he's wanting to hold back kind of thing. Very hard to express that. Like, and then he's slow in identifying, lack in discernment. Now, all these are not really lack or all these things. It is, he's feeling it as those things. Feeling it as lack. But they are not, Joseph. They are your need for opposite of boldness, timidity. What's another good word for timidity? What did I use earlier? Shyness. Your need for shyness, meekness, your need for that. And if this need is not met, you feel it as a lack. That is why God gave you a baby. So tender and soft. To bring out the softness in you. You cannot shout at the baby, "Please God, baby!" Because God wants you to develop this meekness part, this softness. And when you develop this softness in your private life or in different areas of your life, you are able to be comfortable about being bold. You see, as long as you don't develop the other side, let's say I'm stretching my hand out right now, stretching my foot, I don't feel comfortable because my leg is not going the reverse to balance my CG, center of gravity. But when my leg goes forth, I can be comfortable in this position. But if my leg doesn't come forth, it's very uncomfortable. You see, I keep trying to fall. Can you see that? You need to stretch Newton's law. So as you're stretching, to give you more courage in your boldness, more comfort in your boldness. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you stretch and you don't feel comfortable. Let's say I feel comfortable being analytical because I know I haven't lost a part of myself that is emotional and spiritual. So I don't feel that I lost anything. But if you're intellectual without a spiritual and an emotional, you feel uncomfortable even being intellectual. Which may not be wrong. Being bold is not wrong, but if you don't have the opposite of bold and daring, and that meekness and the softness part didn't come, even being bold, which is right, feels uncomfortable because of the hidden pressures that come. And so we need to match it on the other side. You may need to see opportunities of the softness and soft things and draw out your softness in you, your fatherly nature, your motherly nature. Now boldness, father, here, mother, the feminine side of your being, the softness, the compassionate side, and draw it out. Some things that I have found help in that area is the right kind of music. Right kind of music. It draws out that softness. Because to listen to good music, not the rock and roll, but the good music, you need to be soft and quiet. Appreciate. And it develops a softness. And I would think that, but Joseph said, this is only my guess, okay, based on all the evaluation. That you do listen to music, but more praise, worship, etc. But you probably do not listen to soft classical music. Do you? Huh? Saw plays thing. No? See, not at all. Correct, yeah? Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. And so can you see how practical these things are? They are real. They are real. Very real, what we have touched on. Now let me give you some areas to help yourself in this area. Whatever your strengths, your weaknesses, your balances, and God will show you, even without me, God will show you as you pray. Having understood these principles in Christian psychology that we're teaching you, it helps you with yourself. It helps you into the law of Copernicus correctly. You see yourself the way you are. It helps you into the law of Newton to understand your strengths and weaknesses. It helps you into the law of Einstein to know how to compensate, what I call compensate, where you cannot have a direct opposite reaction. And these are keys that I have helped people in inner healing and self-development, that keys I have put into practice. One is area of music. Music. Second is in the area of what I call hobbies. Hobbies. Which can include activity, right? Activity. Physical activity. So that you can develop and compensate for your balance in your life. Maybe I should put physical activity in a different category. Okay. Physical exercise. Hobbies and physical exercise. There are indoor hobbies. Now the two sometimes can be the same. Some hobbies are physical exercise. So I've got to draw an arrow to the two. So two and three can be mixed. But let me just leave it as two separate points for the time being of discussion. And different type of music produce different type of personality. Sometimes you ask whether it's a personality that make you like the music or the music that produce a personality. Both. Your personality tends to bring you to different types of music. You need to know the strengths and weaknesses of all music. I categorize them. Oops. Get another color. Red color. Classical produces intellect. Jazz. Produce social areas. Which can be a weakness is wishy-washy if you don't watch out. Okay. Rock or rock and roll or etc. I mean it's a bit faster, I mean not the worldly area. Now you have Christians who go into that tempo, very very fast tempo. It produces physical development. Very raw power. It stirs up your physical being, your appetites and everything. So athlete development. Country in Western produces great emotion. Okay. Now who? Rhythm and blues. Rhythm and blues also has the area of emotion. Okay. But there are different aspects of emotion, yes. Oh, worship songs, okay. Those are Christian worship. We all the things have what I call spiritual value. Produce spiritual area. Yes? Who?
Reggae.
How does reggae sound like?
Reggae. How Pastor William did the Amazing Grace as reggae.
Okay. It would be like a bit like rocky rock roll kind of thing. Rock and roll. You don't think it's rock and roll? Jazz, see, half jazz, half rock and roll? Okay, then put it in between. Okay? Maybe combine these two kind of thing like that. It produces somewhere in between, social and physical. Rap. Rap is a different thing altogether. Rap is something I have not fully defined rap. Wishy-washy. Red has a lot of tempo. Primarily tempo. Quite physical. We can put it here. Orchestra. Intellect. And sometimes they move into spiritual. Good or bad, right? Good or bad. Some can be bad. Some classical are demonically inspired. Yes. Children song. Produce children. Okay. Children song. If there are Christians that here, they are all the various developments, okay? And children song. Produce cuteness. Okay. And praise God. Physical and of course there are different mixture, okay? I still can't define some areas here that I think there are. There are songs that make you a bit playful, rhythm sometimes make you melancholy, kind of thing. You know, they got strengths, they got weaknesses. Now probably if you're in certain areas already, you have your own taste and like. Alright. And although I was leaning on the intellectual side, I never really go into classical music until several years ago. But I understand its value. Because when every time I read up about some of these scientists and all those things like Max Planck and everyone, Max Planck was so good in music and so great in his intellect, that he had to choose which career. You all heard of Planck's constant, right? He discovered that. And so I realized that there must be value, that it must have harmonized certain things. So if you're an intellect and you're bad temper, you may need to have to listen to more classical music that will seem to give your inner being more rhythm and more calmness. Because a lot of sparks go on your internal side and they may just go all over the place. Plus, most intellects are very seldom active in physical exercise. Very seldom. I know there are those who are very balanced. You do find those. There are those who are balanced. And personally, I had to push my physical exercise only when I realized its value. I was never interested in sports at all, never interested in all these things, all through my school days. I found that by being that way, I was robbing myself of a balanced development, which I should not. And by putting up on music and physical exercise, I found that I am a more calm person. I don't have my temper gets into control. I don't have a short temper. I don't get angry easily. So if I have sufficient music and my house 24 hour music is going on, and then I have physical activity, and although my leaning is on the intellectual side, I balance off. I found my balance. So you got a place of expression outward. And if you're a very sociable person, then you know that that this kind of, you probably like jazz music too. And then, as I mentioned, that you may need to have some roots, so you need to listen to more classical areas of softness. And there are songs like boldness and all that, and to build your boldness, you need more sensitivity. Then you may need to listen to more of this country and music with real good voices, good singers, Keith Davis, and of course it must be faith songs. There are some old hymns that are just negative that I wouldn't listen to. But they do draw your emotions out. When you hear some of those songs, sometimes if you're in the right mood, it can bring you to tears. It can make you, some of the old songs are not good, they make you think too much of heaven and they're not practical at all. They make you want to go back to heaven all the time. So you got to balance it. On the overall, although I put classical as intellectual, because classical contains a little bit of all these other things, it is the most complete of all music. It is the most complete. It has all the things inside. And if you begin to appreciate these areas, it and then have some of those areas, you would have enough completion on your inside. And it would soothe your soul. Music does a lot of help. It's so powerful that when David played, maybe part of it is because of the anointing, but the other part is because music itself has such tremendous power that the demons went away from King Saul. And music must have been an important avenue which Elijah moved into the Spirit of God. So we cannot underestimate the power of music to bring inner healing, to bring a softness and calmness. Now you look at Elijah, he was practically a lone ranger, correct? A loner. Now where is he going to express himself? Music. He doesn't have a maid, he doesn't have a spouse. And of course when God sent him Elisha, that helped, that gained companionship. But apparently he was someone who can become very moody. And he needs to express and balance himself out. I would recommend physical exercise and music. You balance those two, and those areas help. Some of you who are not on the intellectual side, maybe certain hobbies that you take will help you develop the area in your life. And some games or strategy or whatever. And sometimes the kind of movies or things that you like to watch is important. You've got to have an average diet, and you produce different kinds of people, Christian movies, or the kind of, remember at one time we analyzed the books you like also reveal who you are. And all these areas do help in your balancing of your life. It's funny, but in human development, looking at human life in general, we need teaching the word development in our life. Both we need teaching about life, and then we need the word of God. We need philosophies that explain this life, and also teaching about the Bible, from the Bible. We need music. Some of us grew up without music. My parents were not musical. I grew up practically without music. I may have developed differently if music came into my life early. It came late, but thank God not too late. So we need music in our life. Thank God in Christianity music is always there for our worship. But those without Christ, you know, you grew up particularly without music except for all those pop singers and all those fans and those things you hear once in a while. It doesn't really help. And I found that word development is important, which education, intellectual, all give. Music development in our life is important. We need to grow and into those areas. And then physical development is important, which I've incorporated into my life. I was not a very physical, fit man to exercise. But I incorporated into my life, and it took time. Until now, it's automatic for me. And to go without it is very funny than to go with it. And we can change. It doesn't mean that you can't change no matter how old you are. And some of us live so such sedentary lifestyles that you have no physical exercise at all. And you will be lopsided. There will be things that you will rob off. And you need to look at it. Maybe you'll learn spiritual dance, ballet, or some other thing, or games that have that to balance you up. And then hobbies. Now hobbies are also talk also about, let's say, leisure time with family. All these are together. Leisure time or fun time. We need that. You need to have that to be able to relate and come down to that level. Some of us don't have those areas of leisure time and fun time. And I enjoy being with my children. I enjoy, you know, sitting down with them and playing some games with them and all those things. We need things like that. Now if your life don't have some of these areas, you're probably a bit lopsided. Personality can, you know, because people can accept you as they are. People are very gracious, but you actually see lopsided. When you balance those areas, you become very all round, and you're more, the fruit of the Spirit comes forth easily in your life. We know that everything flows from our spirit, but the reverse is true. The physical can cause you discomfort. If you're physically fatigued, you can get easily discouraged. Without realizing it, your mind just can go into discouragement. And we need to maintain ourselves, be balanced in all these areas. Of course, not forgetting spiritual development. Spiritual time. Spending time in prayer together as a group. And all those things are part of our life that we need to develop, spirit, soul, and body. And when you balance in those areas, the other things of your personality, your giftings, your calls, your abilities will take care of themselves. Praise God.